You're listening to Unscripted with Alex, a podcast that empowers young families to make choices that are best for them and their children.
Okay, so today on the podcast, I'm speaking with Kelly Ashdown from Small Steps Family Nutrition, and we are going to be talking about nutrition for brain power, particularly because exam time is coming up, but this is applicable to basically all school age and even uni. And we have had Kelly on the podcast before, so welcome back, Kelly.
Thank you for having me back. Very excited to be here again.
Now, exam time, it's a very stressful time.
Yes.
I think, you know, it's big emotions, it takes up a lot of energy. Mm. I'm sure families sort of feel a bit of that tension when, you know, the child's sort of running around trying to fit in everything, they cram in all that information.
Yeah.
They may not be eating properly. They may be in such a rush that they're not eating, or they're just grabbing snacks or whatever they can. So I think today we're kind of just going to pick your brain around what families can do and how parents can help the children so that they are best equipped for exam time.
Yes.
So just how much does nutrition impact our learning?
Massively, massively. So if our bodies and our brains aren't getting those critical nutrients that it needs for learning, then we're going to crash out. We're not going to have good memory recall. We're going to have low energy and mood. So, yeah, it affects learning hugely.
So what sort of foods would we be looking at to kind of fuel the brain best? Because obviously any food, I mean, you would think even like having sugars can all of a sudden boost your energy. Mm. And I think that's probably why they're quick, easy things to go to. But what are some really good brain foods that people can eat to help sort of prolong their energy over that study period of time?
Yeah, so there's lots we can do. So variety is key. You know, as long as we're having a good variety throughout our day, throughout our meals, that's going to give us a good amount of different vitamins and nutrients that we need for learning and for general health. But there are definitely some specifics as well. So firstly, I think it's critical to have a good breakfast and start the day with a good breakfast. And that's really hard because particularly in times of stress, we might not feel like eating. We might have that nervous tummy, you know, not feel like eating a meal. So just having something, basically, a smoothie is a really good option for that. We can pack so much into a smoothie and then, you know, our teens or whoever it is can just sip on that. But just getting something in to give our brain some energy and get it, you know, going before our exams or whatever it is really, really important. And in our breakfast, I would be trying to make sure that we have a good amount of particularly protein and good fats. So protein is going to keep our blood sugar really stable. We're going to stop or not hopefully have those blood sugar highs and then those really low lows. So that's super important. And good fats, you know, good fats are really, really important for brain power. Our brains are actually made up of a big portion of fats and it needs those fats to keep it working well. So I'd be really, really making sure I had those covered in a good brekkie.
What, can you give us an example of what sort of good fats they could include in the breakfast?
Yeah, sure. So good fats, things like avocado, eggs, some yogurt, Greek yogurt or cheese is really good, nuts and seeds, oily fish, things like that are going to have those good fats, particularly good omega-3s, and they're really great for brain power, like I mentioned, yeah.
Do you find yourself constantly reaching for sugary foods? It's no secret that eating too much sugar can wreak havoc on your gut health. Not only does it feed bad gut bacteria, but it can also cause inflammation and damage to the gut lining. Vatika Co's Gut Health Protocol is here to help. Our simple four-week reset program is designed to remove triggers and unwanted microbes, supporting you through your sugar hangover and repairing the gut. So why wait? Start feeling better today with Vatika Co's Gut Health Protocol.
And what about examples of some protein for breakfast? Because I think we think carbs. Breakfast is very easy to get lots of carbs. So how do you get your protein?
Yeah, you're right. Breakfasts are often focused on carbs. It's toast or it's cereal or something like that. But, you know, slow-release carbs are really important because, again, they keep that blood sugar really nice and level throughout the day. They release slowly into our system. Some examples of protein is, again, eggs are fantastic for that. Yogurt is good for protein. Bit of cheese, nuts, again, covering protein needs. So they're really helpful.
Yeah. So I suppose even having like a nice porridge or oat bowl and then you've got your slow release carbs, and then you can put your yogurt or your seeds or something on top.
And some really beautiful berries on top for some antioxidants. Yeah, so something like that, a good muesli. Just checking, you know, checking the ingredients on the back, making sure it's not too high in sugar, because if it is high in sugar, like those cereals and breakfasts like that, it might feel good for a little while, but you're just going to come crashing down, you know. You might feel good when you leave for school or leave for exam, but, you know, shortly in, you're going to have that crash, which is not ideal. So, yes, I would be having something like that. Yeah, yogurt on top, boosting those foods is really good.
And you sort of mentioned there that their stomach might be feeling a bit woozy. So I'd imagine the morning of the exam, you can feel a bit nervous and maybe not wanting to eat anything or sort of be a bit hesitant. Do you have any sort of suggestions of what a good meal or something for the morning of? Like maybe they can't fit in too much. What would be something that would give them enough to get through that exam the next couple of hours?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, a smoothie is a great option for that, getting that nice balance of ingredients in there. And even if they don't feel like having it in, you know, before they go, take it in a thermos with them and just sip on it just to get it in before they hopefully go in for their exam. A little bowl of a good Greek yogurt with some berries, you know, that's another little nice small meal. If your teen is or child is open to drinking like a bone broth, just a cup of bone broth also is going to contain a lot of beautiful stuff to get that brain going and that energy going.
Yeah. What about any sort of like a protein bar, or do you have to sort of be mindful of which one you have?
Yeah, protein bars can be a good option. It's not something that I'd go for every day, but in that instance, I think it can be really helpful. And there's some great options in the supermarkets now. Again, flipping it over and checking the ingredients, because sometimes they do contain some things that you may not, you know, be wanting to have, you know, additives and preservatives, things like that. But there's some really good clean options, particularly in the health food aisle in the supermarkets now.
So that's a great one-off sort of option for the – so I suppose you think of like if you're coming up for like a marathon or a run or some big event and you're always feeling a little bit in the tummy in the morning, but you need something to sort of sustain you through, I sort of think of exams as something a little bit similar.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want is to be getting halfway through your exam and having hunger pains.
Absolutely. Yeah. No one wants that. And not only the hunger pains, the fatigue and the, like I said, that real energy dip. So, it's really important to get something in, something that's going to have those basics that our body needs for sure.
So what else are some other brain foods then that we're looking? So that's breakfast we sort of covered off.
Yeah, we covered off breakfast. Vegetables and fruits, a good variety of those is really important. They contain fibre, which is going to slow our digestion and have that nice slow release energy that we spoke about. So that's super important. We covered protein. Whole grains are a really good slow release carbohydrate. So when we're looking at carbs in our meals, I'd be trying to stay a little bit away from those white starchy or over-processed sort of carbohydrate options and go more for those whole grains. So brown rice, quinoa, you know, a lot of vegetables give us some good carbohydrates as well. So they're some really good options. Iron. So when we're talking protein, having some good red meat, or if we're not eating red meat, some good legumes to cover off our iron. So it's really common, particularly in teenage girls, up to 40% of them can be iron deficient. And, you know, that's going to lead to low energy, low mood, which is not ideal, it's not ideal at all, but particularly in those exam and those high stress sort of times. So getting that right, I think, is really important too. Mm-hmm. And the other one's keeping well hydrated. Even, you know, a small amount of dehydration is going to lead to fatigue and brain fog and poor memory recall. So just keeping well hydrated is super important as well. It's really easy when we're busy to forget to drink water. So just keeping well hydrated is really important too.
Yeah, on that point, I was very surprised at how, so only 1 or 2% dehydration can cause, really impact like your energy, which is just crazy.
It is crazy, and I think we've all felt that. It's not a nice feeling, and it happens really quick, so important to keep drinking that water.
And on the point with the iron, I suppose then if parents are feeling like they're and like you said, it's commonly in women, and I think that's probably to do with periods and all that sort of thing. If they're sort of feeling, like they are really struggling to pick up their energy, it probably is a good idea to get blood tests done and just see exactly what are their levels. both you and me, I'm sure, don't like to supply iron supplements unless we really know what the level is, because yes. there's such a variety of different iron supplements out there. You've got the higher strength ones, which are really big treatment doses. You've got the lower ones, which are maintenance doses. We don't want to go over, because having too much iron can have a similar sort
Absolutely.
Of symptoms.
Yeah.
And then also if they're really, really low, they might even have an infusion. So the doctor actually pops, you know, the yeah. IV in and yeah.
Yeah. You're exactly right. I always say test, don't guess, you know, particularly with things like that. So getting those blood tests can be really, really important and just make all the difference with our kids. General health and nutrition, and also, as you know, that the quality of supplements is super, super important. So unfortunately, it's not as easy as just going to the supermarket and buying one off the shelf. Sometimes, you know, you're better off not having anything at all than doing that. So I think it's really important to get that quality right as well when we're supplementing.
Yeah, exactly right. Making sure you got the good absorbency ones there.
Yeah.
All righty. So what are some things to try and minimise or avoid during exam time?
So a couple of things. I would be trying to minimise sugar. This is the one that we really go for during those high stress times, definitely. But sugar does a couple of things. So like we spoke before, it's got that real, you know, we feel great when we first have it. We get that, you know, great buzz that we're after, that energy. But it's not long before we come crashing down and then we, you know, feel tired and fatigued and reach for it again. So it's not a good cycle to be in. Also, sugar does lower our immune system, and couple that with the stress of exam time or study periods, and it's just the perfect recipe for getting sick. So I think trying to minimise sugar intake is really important. It's really hard for our teens. I have a teen. I see it daily. It's really hard, but I think as much as we can encourage them to stay away from sugar, it's going to only be beneficial. The other ones that I would be looking to avoid is caffeine and energy drinks. So, again, really common for our teens to reach for those times when they're feeling tired and they've got to get through those long exam periods or study periods. But caffeine and the caffeine in energy drinks, it can spike cortisol, which is a stress hormone, and that's not a great thing. It's going to be adding to stress levels. It also affects memory recall. Can affect memory recall and things like that. So staying away from that is also a good idea. Plus, if they're tending to have it in the afternoon to get them through those, you know, long hours of study, it's going to affect their sleep too. There's no doubt about it. And sleep's critical during these times. You know, they really need that good, restful sleep to be resetting and being ready for the next day. So caffeine's not going to be helpful with that. Energy drinks as well contain huge amounts of sugar. You know, some cans can contain 36 grams, which is 8 teaspoons of sugar. It's massive, you know, and they're often not having one can, they're having more than one. Plus the caffeine, there's often a lot of colours and additives in there too. So they really are not a good thing for our teens to be having. Yeah, so I'd be really encouraging them to stay away from that. Maybe go for a fresh juice instead, you know, a freshly squeezed juice or, you know, a nice tea, a nice herbal tea. Maybe easier said than done, but I'd be certainly encouraging those things over the caffeine and sugary energy drinks.
Yeah, that is a massive amount of sugar
Huge.
In one energy drink and a lot more caffeine than you normally would ever be able to consume.
Mm.
With the memory recall, that's very interesting and it makes a lot of sense, because if you're in a state of fight or flight, which is what you're in when you're stressed, the body isn't trying to memorize stuff. It's just trying to live and survive.
Yep.
And so, yeah.
It shuts that down. Yeah. Mm. It's just ready to flee. So, yeah, raising those cortisol levels is not good. And they're already raised in those stressful times. So anything we can do to minimize that through nutrition is a good thing.
Mm. Mm. And what about, like, can they have one or two cups of coffee? Is there anything there that is like a reasonable level so that they're not just being cut off completely? Or would you say just try and completely avoid?
Look, you know, I think it comes down to the individual teen and how they respond to it. So if they respond okay to one, maybe one coffee in the morning, I would definitely not be having it after 12 o'clock. But if they respond okay to one, then I think that that's okay, getting the timing right with it. But if they're getting jittery and more anxious, or anything like that, I would really be avoiding it because it's clearly not good for them.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, there's definitely other combinations of things, I suppose, that they could have. And I know this is probably not going to sound like the nicest thing, but even something like a hydrolite or, you know, you've got some extra minerals and vitamins in there. It's a little bit of flavour. You can even put it in. I sometimes would put it in with a sparkling water so that you feel like you've got a bit of a bubbly soft drink, but you don't.
Yeah. It feels fancy.
Yeah, you feel fancy, but something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, all those things that you said, I just think back to when I was studying at exam time, and really it was just terrible habits that I had for most of my study period. Towards the end of uni, I got better at doing it, but you would have just a constant supply of sugars and carbs and all and caffeine and all of these things, and you would just be on the biggest roller coaster of like spike and crash.
Yeah.
And always after every time I had an exam period and I ate terribly like that, I would end up with my immune system would really suffer, or my liver would be struggling, or, you know, you really don't feel well at all, and it just, you feel yucky overall.
Yeah, you do. It's super common, and, it's super common, like you said, for our teens or uni students, however, to come crashing down at the end and to get sick. They might get a really bad cold or virus, and, that's the stress coupled with that bad nutrition or, you know, that lower nutrition through that time. So, really common.
I actually used to, towards the end when I got better at studying, I used to, instead of reaching for sugars, I would act like when I started feeling really tired, I would actually go do micro naps. And I don't know if some people can't nap, but I would. And I would be sitting there with my table of study people would be at like someone's house, or my house or their house, whatever.
Yeah.
And I would just be like, I'm just going to duck off for a quick nap. And I would set my alarm for 20 minutes and I would be able to have like a solid deep sleep for like 10 minutes or something, wake up, feel super refreshed and get back to study. And that was the way that I did it in the end.
That's impressive.
It was, if you can do it, it works so well. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. I do not have that skill. It takes me a really long time to get to sleep. I would wake up worse if I tried that. But what a great skill. Absolutely. That's just going to give your brain that downtime and that, that reset. How good.
You just need to not go too long, because if you do like a bigger sleep, then you fall into your real deep sleep. You just need to get it at the very start of your sleep cycle and then get up and get back to it.
Or meditation, similar to that, right? You know, you have that short period of your brain just being completely switched off to everything else, and another really good technique for that, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually, I know like a lot of people use meditation even for problem solving, and so they would do meditation to let their mind just go sort of not blank, but kind of blank. You're not focusing, honing in on anything, and you're just letting thoughts come and go as you normally would with meditation.
Yeah.
And you can find sometimes that you just, the solution comes to
you. Yeah, absolutely. Because our brains are just so busy otherwise. They've got a million other thoughts in there. There's no space for that problem. Yeah. I can see how that would work.
So we've said it's very hard not to reach for sugary snacks. So what are some suggestions to help the children and the parents prevent or minimize these sugars and reaching for them?
Yeah, so having those well-balanced meals throughout the day is really going to help to not have those huge cravings. Mm-hmm. So if we're having a good amount of protein and fats particularly, and those slow-release carbs, that's really going to help keep our blood sugar nice and steady and stop that real craving need, because that is basically what causes those cravings. There's other things as well, you know, to do with gut health, et cetera, but often it is just purely that massive blood sugar low that is causing those cravings. So having those really balanced meals throughout the day is going to really help with that. But then when we are feeling like that, I think just being prepared and having some healthy options at hand, and maybe not having those things that we don't want to be eating in the house or at reach, can be really helpful. So having a good stock of whole fruit, you know, whole fruits are always going to be a great option. They contain the fiber and everything else in there, as well as that nice sweetness and that nice sugar hit. Healthy bliss balls are another really good one. We can pack loads into those. That's going to be really beneficial. One of my favourites, if I'm really craving something sweet, is, you know, those yummy medjool dates, those really sweet medjool dates. Either one of them on their own, or I like to halve it and pop some peanut butter in there or nut butter in there, and that's going to give you the good fats too. And it's delicious. Like, it tastes like a little salty caramel bomb. So
yum.
Some good healthy options at hand is really going to help when we do need to give in to that that craving.
So it definitely sounds like preparation is key.
Yeah, it is.
Because, yeah, when you like really need something, you're going for those quick, easy things. So you want some foods already prepared, ready to go.
Definitely.
I suppose that would be one of the things that parents can do then to support their children is to help prepare some of those snacks.
Yeah.
What are other things then that parents who have got their children going to exams, what are some things that they can do to really help their child and support them through this process?
Yeah, so parental support's huge. It's really important, not only emotionally in this time, but, yeah, just with help with eating well and good meals. So number one would be, yeah, just really thinking about those healthy meals that you're offering your children during those times and making sure that they cover those good basics of good fat, protein and slow-release carbs. The other thing that parents can do with those meals and at mealtime, and it's something that I love to do, is boosting our meals. So there's lots of extras we can just pop into to meals to boost up that nutritional amount in there. Things like bone broths or stocks, you know, we can add a little bit of that into a bolognese or a curry. We can add in maybe some seaweed flakes for a good hit of iodine. And iodine, again, is another one that's really important for brain power and lots of other things, but just popping a little bit of that into a meal. I love using liver powder. Liver's not so easy to get into kids, you know, that most kids are pretty, yeah, adverse to having liver in their diets, but sneaking it in maybe a bolognese or a curry, just a little bit of the powder, sorry, is going to boost that iron. It's going to boost those fat-soluble vitamins. It's going to boost your B vitamins. So that's another really great tool for parents, is boosting the meals that your kids are having. That can be super helpful. And just having a variety of those healthy snacks on hand. I know parents are busy. You know, we don't want to be adding to their load. And it doesn't mean that it has to all be home cooked either. Like we said before, there are some really great options now that you can buy through your supermarket or your health food store. Just check those ingredients and make sure they're as clean as you can get, not too high in sugar, and just having some really great options like that on hand to hand to your teenager is really going to be supporting them really well.
Where do you get liver powder from? I've never heard of liver
powder. Yeah, so you can buy liver powder through health food stores, online health food stores as well. You can make it. I've made my own at home, and not for the faint-hearted. So what it is it's basically dehydrated beef liver generally, and then it's ground up into a powder. So I used my dehydrator at home, got hold of a really good organic beef liver and dehydrated it. It smelled really, really bad. The smell is really strong, so that's why I say it's not for the faint-hearted.
Leave all the windows open. Do it outside.
Do it outside. It's still offensive, but it's better than inside the house. And you just dehydrate it until it's well and truly dry. You know, you don't want to risk any bacteria or anything like that. So it's got to be super, super dry. And then I whizzed it up in the Thermomix. And so I've got a jar of it in my kitchen just ready to add to any meals. And you don't want to go too heavy. It has got quite a strong taste. So I would start with just a half a teaspoon. It's really nutrient dense. And that half a teaspoon is actually a lot more than that of fresh liver. So go easy. Otherwise your teens or your children might reject it. I've had that happen. But just start slow, and yeah, that's such a good booster. Otherwise, yeah, you can buy it. It's pretty easily available now.
That's interesting then, just how much extra boost of the sort of nutrients you can get in just a half a teaspoon of liver powder. It's crazy, very concentrated.
Yeah.
So normally when it comes to exam time, if parents come and see me to talk about supplements that they might be able to give their child to support them through stress and all of that, a good multi is generally sort of the first thing that we would suggest, looking at something with lots of activated Bs, because the activated Bs in the morning, really good for energy production, as you would know. But if they also then want to have, because we always want to have the foods as and probably foods first and supplements later to help supplement that, what are some foods that are really high in B vitamins?
Yeah, so B vitamins are critical for energy, like you mentioned. There's 8 B vitamins and only B12 can be stored in the body. So that's why it's really important to be topping them up regularly through foods. So B vitamins, things like salmon, dark leafy green vegetables, eggs, Greek yogurt, milk, beef, legumes, foods like that are really, they actually contain quite high amounts of B vitamins. So if you're getting a little bit of some of those in each meal, then you're going to be covering that off quite well.
And then the other big one would probably be magnesium. We know that magnesium's needed for so many different processes in the body, but it's also really good for stress levels.
Yeah,
I know it's hard to get enough magnesium from our food, so we usually would supplement with it, especially around stressful times, either to help with sleep or just help with tension in the body or, you know, hormone health and regulating cortisol and stuff like that. But again, foods, what sort of foods are high in magnesium that would help give them that extra boost?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It can be hard to get it alone through food, so magnesium is one that I do often mention to supplement. Unfortunately, these days our soils are depleted. Our soils have been overfarmed for so many years that they're just devoid of a lot of the minerals that they used to contain. So that's why it's so hard to get through our foods these days. But for magnesium, again, similar to our B vitamins, it's green leafy vegetables, nuts and seeds. Tofu is quite high in magnesium. Legumes, avocados, bananas, and dark chocolate is a good source of magnesium too, which is also delicious and can help with those sweet cravings. So I'd be trying to get as much of those foods in as possible. And you can see they cross over with the B vitamins. So by having a lot of those foods, you're getting, you know, not just one of your vitamins or minerals, you're getting more than one.
Mm-hmm. And hemp seeds are quite high too, aren't they, in magnesium?
Yeah, hemp seeds are quite high in magnesium and they're a great one to add to smoothies. So,
I was going to say, you can kind of put them in anything, like sprinkle them on cereal or add them in smoothies or put them on a salad.
Yeah, and full of good fats too. Mm. So, yeah, they've got lots of great things in them.
So preparing a lunchbox to go out for the day can be quite a challenge, I think, around this study time. A child might be going into the library. That might be their place where they focus the best. So they might decide they're going to go to the library for the full day to do their study and they won't be home. How can they sort of best prepare their lunchbox? What are some good ideas? Because, you know, like you said, studying for the exam is the first thing on their mind. Mm. Thinking about food is not really priority for them. Yeah. So they might be more prone to be like, I'll just go grab a sausage roll or something like that from the canteen. What would be some good lunchbox ideas for them?
Yeah, totally. So again, being prepared is key and having those things ready in the fridge and the pantry for them to grab for their lunchboxes. So we probably want things that are going to be easily eaten, not too messy or sticky. Again, bliss balls are a great option for this because we can add lots of, you know, we can add protein powder, nuts, seeds, you know, lots of beautiful ingredients into there. And you can roll them nice and small so you can just pop them in and super easy. Chopped fruit and vegetables, you know, nothing too wet or sticky, but chopped fruit and veggies are a good option. Popcorn is a really good one, you know, easy to eat. Again, not messy and, you know, it's an option that's not sweet as well. We often tend to go more for those sweet options. And even though they can be, you know, good sugars, it still can add up. And, you know, if you're having quite a few sugary good snacks, it can still spike your blood sugar a little. So popcorn is a really good non-sweet option, as is beef jerky. Beef jerky is really easy to eat. It's really portable. Again, a non-sweet option. Hummus and crackers, you know, all these foods have a nice balance generally of those good fats, the protein, which is going to help keep them sustained during their study periods.
That all sounds really good.
Yeah.
I think it's sometimes just sitting down and working out, having a good think and work out, okay, what foods do we want to pop in there for the day? And like you said, we don't want to overload the parents, but it could be a really great way of them being able to support their child by going, okay, let's have a think of what things I can prepare for them and then go through with the child. Do you want this? Would you eat this?
And definitely. And they might not like all those options. But, yeah, if you've got a broad variety there, then there's going to be some things in there that they're going to enjoy.
Yeah,
for sure.
And the smoothie. We always come back to the smoothie. Always a great option. Pop it in a thermos.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they can be portable too that way. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of it. That's a good sort of sum up of, you know, ways that we can sort of support nutrition. Is there anything that we've missed out that you would add on that parents could think about or children?
I don't think so. I think we've covered everything. And like you mentioned right at the start, this is applicable to most people, you know, and our younger children going to primary school too, just because we've spoken about exams. This is, you know, all of our kids need that good, sustainable energy for their brains throughout the day. So I think just, parents keep keeping in mind that this is not only for our teens or uni students, it's for our younger children as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Every time you go to learn something new, which you think they would be doing most days at school, is learning something new. Yeah. It can, we really do need to fuel those brains. Mm. Oh, thank you so much for joining us. And before we let you go, where can people find you for some inspiration and if they want to sort of follow up or even have a coaching session with you for the family?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm on Instagram and on Facebook and my business is Small Steps Family Nutrition. Yeah, I share lots of different recipes and ideas on my social media. And I've got a website as well, which is just smallstepsnutrition.com. Lots of information on there too about coaching, etc.
Fantastic. Mm. We'll put all of that in the show notes as we always do. And thank you so much for joining us again. I'm sure we'll keep having you on when something pops up in mind. Nutrition is so important.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I love coming in, having a chat, and happy to come back anytime.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Unscripted with Alex. This show was brought to you by Batika Co.